This is the iMarket Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Society of Kenya, EABL, and Capital FM.
In this episode, we have Anjoy Mishira, who is the Acting Marketing and Innovation Director at EABL. She also happens to be my boss. AJ leads a team of award-winning marketers charged with building and growing some of East Africa's biggest brands that contribute about 50% of Diageo's global beer volume. In addition to that, AJ is also the inclusivity and diversity champion for Diageo in Africa, where she ensures that we as marketers build progressive and inclusive brands across the continent. AJ previously led marketing for the spirits portfolio in Kenya, where she spearheaded the explosion of Kenya's mainstream spirits portfolio through world-class marketing of brands like Kenya Cane and Chrome Vodka. Kenya's mainstream spirits business is now Diageo's second largest globally. Prior to her recent appointment as the acting marketing director for KBL, AJ was the head of beer for East Africa, leading the transformation of local jewels like Tusker Lager, Serengeti in Tanzania, and Bell Lager in Uganda. In this episode, AJ and I talk about marketing as the strategic engine of the company and the role marketers should play as owners of the P&L. We also talk about AJ's personal journey and the importance of having a purpose to drive your personal brand and what her values have been that have led her to this success. AJ is very passionate about inclusivity and diversity, and we talk about the work that she has spearheaded around progressive portrayal of gender in media, entertainment, and advertising. More so than that, we just have a good laugh and a lot of fun. Enjoy the episode. So hello, today we have Anjoy Mishira. We all call her AJ. We have the lovely AJ on the podcast today. AJ is the head of beer at East African Breweries. She's been with the company for over 5 years or so?
Six years.
Yeah. Wow. So welcome, AJ.
Thank you very much, Raithera.
And in full disclosure, I work with AJ.
Yay!
We're on the same team, marketing. So really good to have you and have this discussion. But AJ, before you joined EABL, I just wanted to just take a step back on, you know, how you started your career, how you got to where you are today.
It's the most interesting story. I love telling it. I started my career as a sales rep at British American Tobacco.
Okay.
I was driving a pickup that had a full body behind it. So I couldn't...
A full-bodied pickup.
I could not reverse, you know, by looking backwards. And I had to learn how to use side mirrors of this lumbering thing. In the beginning, I used to actually go behind the car, try and memorize the lay of the land, you know, so I don't need anything. So I started in Kilifi. I was a sales rep. I managed a distributor. It was a rural market, and it was so beautiful. You could see the ocean when you were up in the hills in Kaloleni.
Wow.
And it was so cool. And the indigenous people there, the Chonyi, are the farmers of Kenya. So
okay.
it was like Kitale, maize, and it didn't feel like Mombasa.
Okay.
I used to drive about 120 to 150 kilometers a day.
Wow.
Selling cigarettes, visiting the bars, visiting the kiosks, going deep rural. You know, we once slept on the road because of flash floods, going
wow.
to rural markets. I had so much fun. It was such an empowering time.
And this was you coming straight out of university?
Straight out of university. I dabbled in banking. I was a bank clerk for 6 months.
Uh-huh.
Then
How did that go?
It did not go anywhere. Right?
Yeah.
Because I was behind a machine typing in numbers. Then someone told me, wait, you can get a car, fuel, and a salary. I was like, cheers, let's do this.
Any interesting experiences from your days on the road, on the field?
When we started, and I say this when I look back, we were 45 sales reps and only 3 were girls. And these days, you look at sales teams and 50% of the sales team is girls. So
yeah.
That, I never realized that, I mean, the guys were extremely nice to us. They always took care of us, took
okay.
us to good, you know, protected us and everything. But that was, I think it made me realize that, I mean, I was not different. So
right.
It was a good setting. What I loved about being a sales rep was I was a mini MD. So I decided what happened in my distributorship. I remember I did a route P&L. Each of her... Mtwapa was one of my markets.
Okay.
And So, she started with one motorbike, then added another, and then another.
Okay.
And then the motorbikes used to crisscross. It was very inefficient.
Okay.
So, no one had planned them. So, the first thing I did, I actually told them, you motorbike here.
Route, yeah.
Drove efficiency. I think we got our sales up 10%. And if you ask me, that's how I started always thinking broad.
Okay.
Taking control of a situation, looking for an opportunity and guiding everyone towards it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed it.
So definitely your commercial nature started very, very early on. And then you moved over to ABL, you're in the marketing function. What has changed in marketing since back in the day?
Right, there are setting me up with this question. What has changed in marketing? I think we are now more consumer focused. I think the digital world has forced us to think about communication as conversation and not as passing a message. So I think marketing of old was, here is my ad, you think this about my brand.
Right.
Now, you try do that today, you send out a message that no one feels for. It will come back at you with the same force that you sent it out. So, communication, I always remind guys, is not when you've passed a message. It's when the message has been received, understood, and more importantly, actioned upon. So if I'm selling something and I put out an ad,
right,
I've communicated when my brand is bought,
okay,
not when I send out the ad.
There you go.
And digital is interesting because not only will guys not buy, they will now tell you why they will not buy.
Exactly.
And then they'll tell everyone in the world not to buy. And so I think we're living in a fantastic age because it's forced us to be two-way.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Tell me about, one of your proudest moments as a marketer.
I only have one.
Okay.
It's the success of Chrome Vodka.
I love this story. Let me just say that.
Oh my God. You know, we started with this brand when I joined the brewery as marketing manager for Mainstream Spirits.
Yes.
And I remember the marketing director at the time, John Williams, was like, AJ, I'm sorry, we're not giving you, a big brand like Tusker or whatever.
Mm.
I was like, I'm here to learn.
Okay.
Because I had come from a very restricted industry.
Okay.
And so I was given this brand, which it had all the hallmarks of success. Fantastic packaging, fantastic pricing, and great trade margins. But it had never caught on.
Okay.
And I was told, hey, here, manage this. So it was one of those opportunity meeting preparation stories because there was a crackdown. There was a lot of cleanup of illicit in the market. It created space.
Okay.
More importantly, the marketing director was like, we use music. I'm like, yes, let's use music.
Okay.
He's like, sign Saudi Soul. I'm like, for Chrome.
And where was Saudi Soul in their career at that time?
It was they had just started heating up. Like they had just done their first album. I remember they were getting ready for the Live and Die in Africa tour. And what was, I felt like an imposter as a brand.
Okay.
I was like, who am I? Going to approach these guys. And I think they thought we were not serious. And what was good about that, let me start with what the feedback we used to get about Chrome on social media.
Mm.
When guys saw Chrome Vodka, it looks very expensive.
Okay.
And then it was 180 shillings for a quarter.
Okay.
And then another guy, I'll never forget this post, there's a hand with coins.
Okay.
And another guy says, ongeza 20 bob to nunue Chrome.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, Jesus, this is my portion,
Right.
So, we signed Saudi Soul. The first thing we did is we sponsored their tour.
Okay.
Because, Marek at the time had big dreams for this brand. And we were like, the thing I was very clear about that partnership was, it was not a lifestyle partnership.
Okay.
So we were not looking to say Saudi Soul, be cool like Saudi Soul through Chrome Vodka. But the purpose for Chrome Vodka was, it was fulfilling your full potential.
Nice.
And the campaign we had coined was dream big, but be even bigger.
Okay.
So Saudi Soul have lived that dream.
Right.
They started right at the bottom. They've worked hard. And now they've, as a Kenyan would say, wameomoka.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, Chrome Vodka stands for this ethos, stands for this mantra. And we lived that purpose through music. One of the things that we did, they were very simple things. And to be honest, we learned as we went. It was not a perfect plan.
Okay.
We sponsored Live and Die in Africa. It gave us, I think that tour had attendance of at least 20 to 30,000 if we combine across the full country.
Yeah.
And we were able to sample these people with Chrome. They'd never known it. They associated it with Sauti Sol.
Yeah.
So we already saw gains from that. They were on their social media talking about Chrome Vodka. And all of a sudden, guys are like, okay, let's take a look at Chrome again.
Yeah.
And then when the tour ended, we went back to sign. And, you know, we were, from an advertising budget perspective, we didn't have much money.
So you really couldn't afford them?
No, they took, and I told them, 80% of my budget went.
So that's really risky. I mean, how'd you go to your marketing director and said, I'm going to use 80% on this one campaign with this, you know?
What I said is, and I've always been a bit of a risk taker. I said, don't judge me on concert by concert.
Okay.
Judge me on the full year number. Okay. I'm going to deliver this many. I don't think, were we to hit a couple of million pounds? I'll never forget. It was 186,000 cases. I will never forget. And I said, I will deliver the 186. But don't stress me in between the months.
Okay.
Because you need time to build up.
Yeah.
And he bought it.
Yeah. You know, somebody listening who maybe, you know, works on a brand that isn't as well resourced as, you know, EABL brands, I would say, okay, well, you know, you had the money, you could do this. That's why the brand grew, AJ. But what is it that you think you did that really, you know, made sure that this worked? You said something earlier about the brand had a purpose.
Yes. So one, the brand was built well. So the purpose was clear, fulfilling your full, getting to your full potential.
Yeah.
And when you look at the, you know, 18 to 24 year olds, that's a real thing. Number two, it had a beautiful park. Luku, as we call it, it had that in the day, you know, it had great pricing.
Okay.
So it was delivering utility. And it had good trade margins. So the foundations of the brand were very strong.
Yeah.
All we did was put makeups, as I keep laughing and saying, we put real makeup on the brand. So in terms of the fundamental or the foundation work with music, music is so big for our younger consumers, you know, the 18 to 24 consumers.
Correct.
And music is a language.
Yeah.
It's a movement. It's not just fun. So with Sauti Sol headlining every event we held, we were also able to lift up a lot of the artists you see today and a lot of the MCs like Obinna you see today. We started on the Chrome Vodka stage together.
Nice.
So we were broke, so we couldn't afford all the acts being big. We sat down, we looked at what we had, and we used it to the best of our ability. It also helped us live our purpose. It helped us connect with people.
Yeah.
And Chrome became known as Pombe ya Wasani. It is the brand that supported music and artists in Kenya. The other thing is, we did events. At the time, all events were in Nairobi.
Okay.
2,000 bob entry.
Wow, that's steep.
When you get in, a beer is 200 bob. So, like, you need 5K.
That's ridiculous.
We were like, let's do one for our people, our Chrome Vodka people. So we will take Sauti Sol. I remember we went around the country.
Okay.
It was a basic setup. What we never compromised on was stage, lighting, and sound.
Okay.
Because that's a concert.
Yes.
But do we need fancy seating? Do we need... No. So we were efficient in how we set it up.
Okay.
We charged guys 500 bob.
Okay.
And when you paid 500 bob, you got a quarter of Chrome.
Oh, there you go.
Night done.
Yeah.
Live Kenyan music, Kenyan DJs, Kenyan MCs. It just took off. Because we did not have, and genuinely, I'll be very honest, if we had the money, we would have tried to be on television.
Mm.
We didn't have the money.
Okay.
Chrome was built on digital.
That's fantastic. And how is Chrome, how is the brand doing now?
I think it's a 23 million pound brand.
Wow.
So when I say wild, wild success, we thought it would be good. We started by saying Chrome will be the number one brand in Kenya, but it's those things you always see. And then you actually, I know. Then we got there And it also helps the organization understand that marketing strategy works.
Yeah.
And it puts money in people's pockets.
Yes.
Because it wasn't just for KBL. Our distributors expanded the spirits business. All of a sudden, we stopped taking spirits as, you know, this small thing that we do as a hobby, but we mainly sell beer. So it's one of the more amazing things I've been involved in.
That's fantastic. And what did it do for you from a career perspective?
Well, it made my name, to be honest.
Yeah.
Everyone has, you must have that thing that when you look back and you're asked, what did you do? And, you know, the whole country and the whole business and everyone says, you know,
it's like your legacy.
It's your legacy.
Yeah.
So it catapulted from that time. After my work in spirits, I was then promoted to head of spirits.
Okay.
So Total Kenya. So I took everything over from Singleton all the way
all
to
the fancy brands, Johnny Walker.
I know. I had to stop being ratchet, you know. I shouldn't say that. I took over from Singleton, all the fancy brands, international brands, all the local brands, all the way down to Cane Extra and Jebel, which people don't even know are East Africa breweries brands.
And
that just opened another chapter in my career.
That's fantastic. So just going back, AJ, it sounds like, you know, you're very purposeful in, you know, what you do career-wise as a marketer. Do you have a purpose?
No.
Yeah? No, let me ask you.
I'm just floating. I'm just floating around.
Floating around.
I'm just doing me as a person who would say.
End to end.
When I was 30 years old, I wanted to be GM. I remember I was very 27, actually. I said, I want to be MD of a big company.
Okay.
I think I just want like being the boss.
Okay. You like being the boss?
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
You know, I hate having to do, you know, type things, and like, I'd rather I say it than other guys do. But my motivation at the time is I wanted the title and I wanted the money.
Okay.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I didn't have any big dreams
okay.
about changing this world. No.
Okay.
So I hit then, I had my children.
Okay.
When I was 27 and 30.
Okay.
And then I started thinking, I went through coaching.
Okay.
And I asked myself, by the way, what are you here? Like, if you asked AJ, who are you? And all you think is that I am a mother and then I sell alcohol. It can be very depressing.
Right.
But then I was like, no, actually, I'm very passionate about our country. I'm very passionate about Africa.
Okay.
I think we are a beautiful people. We have a beautiful continent.
Yeah.
And I really think we are known for the wrong things. At the heart of that for me is leadership.
Okay.
And whenever somebody talks about leadership, people think about leadership of others. And for me, leadership starts with self.
Mm-hmm.
What you determine for yourself, what you want to do with, what gift you're giving the world. And I looked at what I enjoy, and I enjoy transformational leadership because it changes society.
Okay.
So I'm all about building transformational African leadership so that we can change Kenya. And we can change Africa so that we can shine a light on the beauty and the strength. So that we are talking more about, you know, I spent time with Team Kenya a couple of weeks back.
Yeah, name dropping.
Yeah, you know, Eliud.
You're with Eliud.
I was with Eliud. He sat next to me, you know. And, you know, Janeth.
First name basis.
Uh-huh. And Colin Zinjera. He's a funny guy. But I actually did spend time with these people.
Okay.
And we spend a lot of time looking at what is not working. There's a lot that's not working where we are.
Yeah.
There's a lot that is working. There are people that are transforming this country and this continent one day at a time.
Yes.
And I think the more we focus on who they are, what they do, and what they're about. You know, Eliud told me he gets tired, but you don't stop. If you stop, you have to start again. You take yourself backwards. And that's resilience. Right.
So Eliud himself says, you know, I don't feel like running every day, or
yeah.
I get tired when I'm running.
I asked him, do you get tired? He told me, of course I get tired.
Okay.
But if I stop at kilometer 32, uh-huh. I have to start again at zero. So why don't I just finish?
Okay.
One of the important things he said is walk your journey, finish your journey.
Okay.
You commit to it, you finish it. And for me, if half of the adults in Kenya today took just that one lesson from Eliud, this country would be different. And that's what I'm about.
So transformational leadership. That's fantastic. How do you apply that in your day to day?
So I think leadership starts with a value system.
Okay. Okay.
And that's what I think is broken in our families, in our society,
right,
in general. So as a leader, as AG, I have a very clear value system. Very high on my agenda is respect and integrity, because I think that's what allows us and gives us the freedom to do the right thing. Right. The right thing is not always easy, and it's not always convenient, and it's not always enriching. Sometimes, I mean, ask Raila Odinga, Kenneth Matiba, you right. get in trouble for doing the right thing. Ask Gandhi,
yes.
you know, ask Nelson Mandela.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's why integrity is difficult. And right. that's really core to what I do. When it's inconvenient in a meeting with all my leaders staring down at me to do what is easier, I will be the voice that will say it's not necessarily the right thing.
Right.
And it gives people a lot of strength. Number one, I think it increases your chances of success.
Yeah.
If you focus on what's really right. In our world, it's the consumer.
Yeah.
It helps us make sure we're answering consumer needs. We're responding to consumer requirements. We're not building things for ourselves in the office, you know. So respect and integrity is key. The other thing for me is that I like to have fun.
Okay.
I don't like to be depressed. You know, you must enjoy what you do.
That's true.
3/4 of the time, if you ask somebody, how was work? They complain.
True.
Why? You wake up to do it every day. By the way, the moment I'm having fun. I have fun working with Sauti Sol. I have fun building music concerts. You
right.
know, I actually have fun shooting the Tasker ad.
Right.
I freed myself to enjoy what I do most of the day.
Yeah.
And it changed my attitude.
Yeah.
So I think we need to stop complaining.
Yeah.
And if you're complaining about what you do, maybe change what you're doing.
Right.
Yeah. So we have to have joy. It's what allows us to be innovative. It allows us to be creative.
Yeah.
And it allows us other people to want to be around us.
Right.
Nobody wants to be around a drag.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have to role model as a leader.
Exactly. So if I walk into the room and all, you know, cumulonimbus clouds are with me in the office, what creativity will we ever have?
You know? I can speak from experience. You're a very fun person. And I hope you're having fun now.
No, this is excellent. So for me, it's as a leader, it's how I live my purpose. It's through values.
Okay.
And the last thing I'll say on values is leaving the world a better place than you found it. It sounds tricky. It sounds like a Michael Jackson song. You know what was?
What was that song?
We look for it.
Yes. But so what does this mean then?
Let me now just be very fundamental and basic. I always drag my children into all my conversations. I hope they forgive me when they are older. I told my kids, you know, you walk into a toilet, you find it clean, you enjoy the cleanliness.
Uh-huh.
Why are you leaving it worse? Leave it the way you found it, or better, spray, you know, make it better.
Yeah.
And that's like my most fundamental thinking.
Right.
When I joined the beer team, guys are like, oh, our culture is not great. You know, Tasker equity had been declining for 5 years in a row. Am I going to be the person that allows it to slide further? Or am I going to leave Tasker better?
Yeah.
You know, am I going to leave the team an environment where they thrive? They enjoy working and they're growing.
Yeah.
So in everything I do, I try, and I'm not perfect, but I try to leave the world a better place.
Yeah.
So integrity, doing the right thing, enjoying yourself as you do it, and then making sure it's making a difference by making something better, whether it's big or small.
So it's really great, AJ, that you know your purpose, you're very clear what it is. What has helped you to get to this point, or any resources that you had?
So number one, I started officially seeing a mentor who was outside the organization.
Okay.
And I always tell people that a mentor should be someone at least 3 to 4 levels above you.
Okay.
Because they need to have walked a journey before you that they can advise you on. It needs to be somebody who you share a value system with.
Okay.
Because there are many successful people out there. You don't want to be every one of them.
Yeah.
So find someone that inspires you. Not just somebody who you're jealous of the car they have.
I like that. Shares a value system with you.
Yeah. It's very important.
I'm sure you get asked a lot by people, can you be my mentor? So how do you address that?
I tell them yes. And then after the first session, they run away.
Cody, what did you do to them?
Because, you know, in mentorship, the work is on the mentee.
It is.
A lot of people ask for mentorship, you know, like it has, like it's a, I don't know, a panacea, you know. It will just come and solve your problems. It won't. A mentor helps you see yourself in living color. Now, you keep the pieces you like, and it is you to work on the pieces that need to be improved. It's a behavioral changes, I always say, are the hardest. One of the things I had to work on significantly was my ability to engage senior stakeholders consistently and build my brand. So I would do the work and expect, you know, the respect and the accolades. It doesn't work like that. Right. Everyone has their own problems. So I had to learn, okay, walk up to Jane Karuku. Tell her, oh, I'm AJ. I sell spirits. I used to go see her every 2 weeks. And the first time, I'm sure she was like, who is this crazy woman? After the third time, she started enjoying our conversation. Because I was adding value to her through my work.
Yeah.
And that's how I started building brands. And now I, you know, confidence is a muscle. It's like running. You have to start. Everyone thinks you don't pick confidence on the street.
Yeah.
Some are born with a bit more of it. All of us are born fearful. So what you need to do is just wake up, work on it. I woke up, I engage my senior stakeholders. These days I actually put in my calendar and I talk about my work.
So you schedule it in. Deliberate.
It is very intentional.
And I like what you said, confidence is a muscle, you have to start. So maybe you could start with just saying, hello, introduce myself, this is what I do. The next engagement is a bit more.
And plan it. Okay. I used to write down the three things I was going to talk about. Okay. Maybe two things were an update and one thing was help I needed.
Okay.
Right? So that then, you know, you are a brand. And Waithera, we were discussing
this earlier.
I'm
even writing notes. Like, I'm like...
You are a brand. Many people will say, I don't want to build my brand. You know, I just want to hide in a corner. I say, well, that's good. Please then hide there with the results you get. Then don't look for higher.
Yeah.
And as long as you're comfortable with that, it's okay. There's nothing that's wrong in this world.
Right.
But if you're stretching for more, you have to work on it. Right? And you are a brand. People think something about you just by you breathing. You might as well tell them what you're about.
Yes.
And let them think on the right things.
Instead of them waiting for them to define who you are.
Why be fatalistic with your reputation? Build
what else
it.
Helped you get here?
So great mentorship was one. The next one was I consume material.
Okay.
So I read Robin Sharma, Leadership Wisdom. Absolutely. I read that book at least once every 6 months.
Wow.
And that book talks to you about how you manage yourself. It's about the impact you make.
Okay.
Because a lot of the time we talk about they, you know, they refused and they came. And I know who they are, you know. You can only control yourself. You can't control the world. So it focuses you on what impact you want to have. It makes you think about what are the things you're doing right? What are the things you could change?
Okay.
That's a big one. I also read The Bigger Deal by Sunny Bindra.
Right.
I struggle, you know, autobiographies are good. But some of them are difficult to deal with. I like easy reads that pick up the lessons very quickly.
Yeah, The Bigger Deal was fantastic.
And it's so simple.
Yeah.
And The Bigger Deal was about purpose.
Yeah.
What are you about?
Yes.
So that then when you wake up in the morning, I'm not just waking up to sell Tusker. I'm waking up to build the next generation of African leaders.
There you go.
Tusker is a vehicle.
Yeah. And speaking of Tusker, so as head of beer, you manage, you know, the full beer portfolio for EABL. So Tusker in Kenya, Serengeti in Tanzania, Bell Lager in Uganda, and Guinness across, you know, the markets, and many other brands. But Tusker is really special to your heart, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Tell us why.
Because it's a Kenyan.
Like you.
Like me. And I think Kenya and Kenyans are beautiful.
Yes.
Tusker is also a labor of love. It is my... prove to myself that I'm a real marketer because let's be honest, it's been ailing. And I always say, you know, our marketing group is called On Giant's Shoulders.
Right.
And it's a reminder that those that came before us,
there you go,
did a lot of work.
Yeah.
And I look at Tusker and I ask myself, Tusker is turning 100 in 2022.
Yes.
Shall we be the generation that destroyed 100 years worth of work. And remember, I said we leave the world a better place
yeah.
than we found it. And I'm very invested in my work in general, but specifically in turning around Tusker, because I think Kenya needs it. Yeah, it's a brand that shines a light on our winning sports people. It's a brand, our one brand that's respected globally. Everywhere you go, people know about Tusker.
Yeah. Did I tell you that story where I was wearing a Tusker shirt walking on the streets of New York? Let me name drop. I was in New York the other day before COVID, and I was stopped by like 3 different people.
Yes. That's the power of the brand.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we've let it get dusty. And that's why I'm very invested in making sure that the next 100 years have Tusker to celebrate and to support Kenya and drive the Kenyan story.
So to the, you know, the common person out there, they'll be like, but Tusker is doing well. It's a great brand. We see it every year. What are the issues with Tusker?
So the issues with Tusker really is that everyone knows about it, but it's getting loved less every day. And I keep a big aha moment, actually, was the other day when I thought and I said, we posted, me and you,
yes.
our Tusker shoes.
Yes.
And everyone wants awesome a stuff. Everyone wants a pair. And
I was like, I need to start a business of making shoes.
I know. Right?
No, it was good from Ender Sports.
Yes.
Fantastic.
So, and that's another thing I love about Tusker. I mean, we supported Nava, who's a female entrepreneur, making the first running shoe in Kenya.
Yes.
So I'm like, wait, Tusker is a lifestyle. Tusker is not just a beer. It's a Kenyan lifestyle.
Yeah.
And we have to get Kenyans to fall in love with the idea of Tusker again, you know. And we are well in that journey. And it's from celebrating our sports people, our iconic sports people, to having the most fabulous merchandise that nobody else is making, to having the most fabulous festivals. And that's why even with COVID, we are doing Oktoberfest.
Right.
It's a celebration of our culture.
Yeah.
So we need to make sure that this brand is alive and it's vibrant. And we also create opportunities where people can enjoy a Tusker. And more importantly, they want to enjoy a Tusker.
Right.
We can't force people to choose Tusker.
Yeah.
We can just create desire to connect with the brand and to consume the brand. And that's what we're doing now. And I'm hoping everyone around the country is feeling the vibrancy that's back in the brand.
Yeah. And I remember last year during the festive season, Tusker was doing the Tusker Live music series. I was glued to my TV all those nights watching all these performing artists.
And, you know, it started by us saying, okay, you know, we have not hired artists for 8 months, you know.
Yeah,
and the truth of the matter is the entertainment industry is very core. Alcohol and entertainment go hand in hand.
Yeah.
So at least we are selling, and we said, let's stand in the gap. And plus everyone wants a party. I mean, it's been a long year.
Yeah.
So we did the Choma 2020, which we were like, just ban that year and let it go away.
Yeah.
And it was 4 hours.
Oh, that's what it meant.
But yes.
My thought was Nyama Choma 20. Mm-hmm.
Now, when the people you work with misunderstand your messages, it's worrying.
The target audience understood.
It was banned 2020, let it go away and focus on 2021, which then came with Delta, but that's another conversation.
Yeah.
But I mean, we got, was it over 30 artists plus DJs, and guys had fun. Like guys, they were glued to their screens. They watched the show. We also got media houses to support us and actually air it on TV, because not everyone has, you know, the resources and the bundles to watch a four-hour show.
Right.
And so every time with Tusker, we are asking ourselves, how do we add a little value in any corner that we're involved in?
Yeah. To the market out there, they'll be like, you know what? You know, Tusker is a, you know, well-known brand, like you said, well-resourced. AJ, your job must be so easy, is it?
Yeah, I just wish. You know, there are those movies where you can change, you know, for 5 days, Heart the Band, who are my favorite musicians.
Really?
Yes.
Which song are you digging right now?
Nabado.
Okay.
You need to listen to it. It's about this kid saying, we have not yet come. We are successful. We are working on it. And it features Nyashinski, who I love as well.
Yeah.
And for me, it's an anthem. You know, we don't always have to listen to, you know, degrading music. There's a lot of meaningful music out there. So I love Heart the Band. Mm-hmm. And they said, Uliza, Kiatu. And sometimes you need to just walk in my shoes.
Yes.
My job is fun. I love it. It's enjoyable.
Okay.
I've also gone gray at a tender age of 40 years. Some of it is genetic, but a lot of it is Tasker. And it's not easy because, you know, if you ask me, it was probably easier to build Chrome Vodka from the ground up than it is to turn around a giant machine like Tasker and make it face the right direction. Because Tasker means something to everybody. How do you make it connect? So every day we are out there, we are talking to consumers, we're listening to research. We need to understand, you know, Odhiambo in Kisumu.
Yeah.
We need to understand Kevo in Nairobi.
Yeah.
Then we have to go to Kipto in the Rift.
Right.
Then we need to come to, you know, Mairelas in Meru who are crazy.
Mm.
Then you have to go to the coast. So
yeah,
we have to understand all these people and find out what connects them.
Yeah.
And then consistently speak in one language. So it's tricky. It's almost a minefield because you could end up being very Nairobi and leave the rest of the country. You could end up being very rural and leave Nairobi. Or you could end up trying to be everyone and mean nothing.
Right.
So building a purposeful brand in Tasker is very tricky. It's an academic exercise. It's emotional. It is all in. So the Tasker team, we go in all in. Everyone all the time, plus our agencies. We have one big team that think Kenya always. And we ask ourselves, when you look at that post, when you look at that campaign, when you look at that bottle, does it say the best of Kenya to you? If it doesn't, put it down.
You know, you recently got very involved in the production of the Tasker Milele campaign, which, you know, there was a TV ad that came out of that as well. What worked well on that one and what didn't? Because you were right there in the trenches with the agency and, you know, with the team. Tell me about that.
We wrote that campaign for 18 months.
Wow.
You know, no one ever sees. Everyone sees the little, you know, on top. We were writing that campaign for 18 months. And I mean, we almost gave up. But I mean, we got a winner with the Scanner team.
Yes.
With the Kenya Milele campaign. And we said, what I did is I challenged the team. When Tasker was loved, what did Tasker do? Because we lost our way.
Yeah.
And we went back to the old ads and we could see the break. We could see the point when we stopped being Tasker.
Oh.
And yeah, if you go back to the Milele campaign,
okay,
you know, you can actually see it was about bright mornings. Everybody waking up to build a beautiful country.
There you go.
And relaxing at the end of the day with our fabulous beer.
Yes.
It's a very simple storyline.
There's a lot of nostalgia around those campaigns.
Yeah, Tasker is all heart. So will Tasker ever do a ultra modern, you know, gadgetry campaign? I don't know. Maybe that day will come.
Mm.
But it has to touch people's hearts. And that's how we built up the Kenya Milele campaign.
Okay.
And we wanted this campaign to be meaningful inside and outside.
Okay.
We started by making sure we were using Kenyan talent as much as is possible. One of the stories people do not know is that we could not get a director of photography from Kenya to get the quality we needed. So we said, we'll bring the guy from California, world class,
yes.
Joao,
yeah.
But he has to teach us because we need to skill up. And we trained, I think 5 or 6 people.
Okay.
And we made sure that at least almost half of those were ladies. So we are, you know, allowing everyone to participate in Tasker, in building Kenya. So Tasker is not just saying, oh, you know, I'm a Kenyan, drink me and going away.
Right.
But at every touch point, how are we adding value? So we trained guys. When we wrote the script, to be honest, the casting was very traditional. It was all guys. And we then changed it and we put in these ladies in the middle who work. You can see they're farmers. The guys, when they're driving their combi, they stop to ask them for a lift. They stop to offer a lift because Kenyans help. It's what we do.
Yes.
You don't watch ladies carrying sacks and drive off. We help. And they give these ladies a ride. And in the evening, these ladies have gone home. They've cleaned up. They've put on their makeups. And they're having a Tasker.
They're enjoying a drink.
And they're there with their guys, you know.
Yeah.
And they actually buy the guys who give them a ride a drink.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, and for me, it's just the embodiment of the Kenyan spirit. We work, we help, and we celebrate. And that's what if you ask me, an end-to-end Tusker story is about. We are great, we support each other, and we celebrate. So when we say Kenya Milele, it is because we must be proud to be Kenyans forever. Because who else would you rather be?
So that's a really good example of where you actually took a step back and made sure there's, you know, a really progressive portrayal of gender, not just the male, but even the females in you know, in front of the camera and behind the camera. How well are we doing on that front as an industry? And I'm asking you this because you're actually also, you wear many hats, you're also the inclusivity and diversity champion for Diageo Africa. How are we doing on that front? And you can tell me, I know you have a lens of Africa as well.
We are at the beginning, if I'm to be brutally honest. I was shocked that I am a girl, I am female, and I wrote a script that only had men.
Mm.
And I didn't even see it. So it's just
unconscious.
Unconscious bias.
Yeah.
So it's not that we are bad. We're just at the beginning of this journey. The great thing is that, you know, there's this UN Women group and it has all the big companies, Safaricom, Unilever, Diageo is there, the Unstereotype Alliance. And we're actually saying that a lot, since our industries generate a lot of the content consumed, can we make sure we are passing the right message?
Yeah.
Can we make sure a girl knows she can be Eliud Kipchoge?
Yes.
Can we make sure a guy knows that there is pride in taking care of your family?
Yeah.
There is pride in standing up to be counted. Because progressive portrayal is two ways, right? But it's also balancing, you know, if you look at some of the material that's been produced previously, a girl was always an ornament.
Right.
In an alcohol ad, right? And not that now she has to go and be the one buying everyone drinks, but it's more balanced. Let's be balanced.
Yeah.
Where there are me and you, we'll finish our day.
Yes.
And we will go and have a drink.
There you go.
And that's normal. We're successful women.
Yes.
So we are at the beginning of the journey. The good thing is that it's deliberate and we're not alone in this journey. So you trained a lot of the media owners.
Right.
What I loved about that is everyone is on board.
Yeah.
The minute everyone sees the problem, they're like, actually, we need to change it. What I hope this does is that it allows for there to be a more balanced society. Whenever we speak inclusivity, many people think we are blocking the boy or the male.
Mm.
And I think, you know, one can't live without the other. We are a bicycle. One pedal up, one pedal down. We have to be moving together.
Absolutely.
For it to move. So it's about building the confidence and courage within guys to know that they're important. They play a fundamental role.
Yeah.
It's about freeing up the space for the girl and inspiring her to be her best without guilt.
And it's also about speaking up when things don't go well.
It is about having that courage.
And I will say, you know, you are the one who spoke up when a certain radio station, you know, was not doing the right thing. And there was a lot of backlash that came out of that. I think, I remember we were going through Twitter and we're like, wow, this is a bigger problem than we think it is.
Yeah, it is. And that's why I make sure these days when I talk about inclusivity, it's balance. It's equity, not equality. It is everybody feeling they have a piece of the pie. That experience for me when I was very surprised that there are many people who think any kind of violence is okay. Mm. For me, I'm like, it doesn't matter. Let's first say no to what is bad behavior.
Yes.
Then let's address what are the things, the bad manners that are leading to bad behavior.
Yes.
But we have to start by having a clear stand on what's acceptable and what isn't. I keep laughing. I think I go looking for battles and problems. Either that or they find me consistently. I feel like I'm always in trouble. But it's rewarding when you can make people face a different direction or open their eyes a little bit. And it takes a lot of courage.
Have you been criticized for the stand you took on that incident?
A lot.
Okay.
From the most interesting corners, people close to me. I'm like, I would never have imagined that guys would think it's okay, you know, to let a narrative where an everyday guy might think maybe this is fine or maybe this is acceptable. And for me, I just kept asking, if this was your daughter, if this was your sister, if this was your mother, Would you be giving me that feedback?
Right.
And that changes everything when the perspective is from the self. And that's how I managed those conversations. But I did get a lot of feedback.
You did.
It took time for me to mend a number of relationships.
Wow.
But we are there now.
Okay.
And I think we're all in a better place.
Yeah.
The microphone is a powerful thing.
It sure is.
Let's use it to build, not to tear down.
Absolutely. AJ, where do you consume your media?
Everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Media is everywhere. Media is what? Mass communication. So media is everywhere, but mostly on my phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as you consume this media, I know we've been talking about progressive portrayal in media. Do you have any examples of, you know, a show maybe you've watched or a movie that got it right?
Yeah, we're just laughing earlier. I don't own a TV. I have two TVs in my house and they belong to the children. And so allow me to respond using one of allow me, please, to use one of the... I've always loved animated movies. I loved Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast. I've always, always loved animated movies because they just bring a little bit of magic and hope, you know, and they leave you smiling.
Yeah.
So I watched a movie called Moana.
Okay.
Moana of Motunui.
Moana.
And I think Moana is just fierce. It's the most beautiful story of a society that was suffering from climate change, technically. Okay. And they had all the tools and the knowledge to solve it.
Okay.
But they were afraid because of past bad experiences.
Okay.
And Moana confronted that fear, went actually against her parents, ran away from home, went to the open ocean on a little raft to look for the cause of the problem.
Okay.
So Moana saw a problem. She didn't leave it alone. She was told it's not her problem to solve. She took on the mantle for the whole society, found the problem.
Okay.
Went through madness to solve it. Actually inspired the source of the problem to help her fix it. And then went back home. And home was now a better place. If we had a tenth of the strength, the clarity of Moana, her determination and her giving spirit, because I think you have to be giving to go through that just to make the world a better place. And it goes back to my mantra, leave the world a better place. And it's not always convenient. But the thing is, she had fun along that journey.
Right?
She had fun while doing it.
Yeah.
And she came back and she was celebrated as a hero. Think about Eliud Kipchoge.
Yeah.
When he comes back, you're a hero. But he does go through a lot to get there, you know.
Yeah.
And for me, I would love to be as fierce as Moana, always.
Nice. Awesome. Excellent. So glad to have you today. We had fun.
As usual.
And like they said, what is pressure?
What is pressure?
There you go.
We eat pressure for breakfast.
There you go. Thank you, AJ. Cheers.